The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and good evening. Welcome to Burning Issue with myself, Yazid Kamaldeen. Of course, it's a weekly show where we like to keep you informed about the latest news and events happening. This evening, we are focusing on the fact that Hajj has been cancelled, but more importantly, how you need to now interact going forward with a Hajj operator. And it's a shorter show. It's only going on until 8 p.m. tonight because there's something else happening a bit at 8 o'clock that will also be interesting. So stay tuned for that. The show intends always to be very interactive. So I'll read out the phone number and the WhatsApp number in just a bit. So it was heartbreaking for our local Hujaj as they dealt with the news that Hajj is off the cards for this year. It's something many knew could be an option or would be an option, but to hear the official decision was still very tough for many pilgrims, especially if you've been saving up for Hajj and you've been looking forward to it. And of course, we all know with COVID-19, the whole world has been upside down. So due to lockdown restrictions such as the closure of borders, South African Muslims who are planning on embarking on Hajj will no longer be able to do so. And this was the decision taken by SAUK, the South African Hajj and Umrah Council, following a meeting last week. As we know, Saudi Arabia has not made an official decision on Hajj. So we knew that it might happen, it might not happen. We're still waiting for the Saudi decision. But as far as South Africans are concerned, the local or the country's Umrah Council, Hajj and Umrah Council decided there won't be travel to Saudi. Now, this is, of course, unprecedented. Now that Hajj is no longer possible for South Africans, what happens next? On Burning Issue tonight, we bring in the South African Hajj Travel Operators Association to unpack this further. Let's welcome to our program. We have in studio the TOA President, Mr. Sadiq Steenkamp. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
And we have the TOA Vice Chairman, Sheikh Imran Saban.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So we'll take your questions and messages via SMS. You can send us an SMS. The number is 47913 or WhatsApp. Of course, that's always the more popular platform that people interact with. And the number there is 072-238-0712. That is 072-238-0712. And as mentioned, our program is shorter than usual. So I'm going to go straight into the questions, right? So the Hajj and the Hajj Travel Fraternity was aware that a cancellation of Hajj, at least for South Africa, was very likely, right? So how have you been dealing with this? What has the strain been on for operators?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, Yazid, you know, the decision of SAHU after consultation with the South African government to withdraw from Hajj or for South Africans not to embark, it is a sad decision and was greeted with sadness from operators as well. Of course, you know, we've done a lot of work leading up to Hajj. We've spoken to a lot of people. We have been doing our packages and everybody is, of course, you know, when it's the Hajj season, we are all excited about it and everybody looks forward to that. So leading up to the decision of the cancellation of Hajj from the South African point of view, and yes, we are still waiting on the Saudis to make a decision. It's around, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it dragged for all of us. So to manage it, we had to do a lot of planning, a lot of discussion. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, now that we have a decision, being it said, of course, we're going to have to work, and we are working with the authorities. We're working, we have to work with the Hujaj, we have to work with our suppliers, we have to work with the airlines to ensure, inshallah ta'ala, that we have an outcome that is satisfactory to all. So that, inshallah ta'ala, is the broad plan going forward now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, SATOA is, of course, a regulator of Hajj operators, is that correct? It's an oversight body. It makes sure that the Hajj operators in South Africa are firstly legitimate and that they are credible and reliable. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. SATOA, the South African Travel Hajj and Umrah Operators Association, has been serving the community for the past 18 years. We have 20 members in Hajj and Umrah, of which 13 this year, alhamdulillah, has been accredited to trade for Hajj.
13,
yes.
Yeah. Nationwide.
Nationwide of
only
the Satawa, of the Satawa Hajj and Umrah operators. There are other operators as well in South Africa who was not members of Satawa. So there is two bodies that is associated as well to the South African Hajj and Umrah Council, which is made up of SAMT and Satawa. So we represent the Satawa body of 20 members. Alhamdulillah, so that is who we are. Yes, we do keep a close eye on regular how trade is taking place amongst the Hajj and Umrah operators. And we try to regulate the industry of Umrah and Hajj as well. And we're in good communication with all the necessary authorities representing the body.
Great stuff. So we have an idea of who we're talking to, who's in studio here with us. So the questions are coming in already. People always want to know about their money, right? The first question that I have, let's go for an ad break quickly, and then we'll get into questions because it's going to be a lot. Welcome back to The Burning Issue with myself, Yazid Kamaldin. Just to reiterate, you are more than welcome to participate in the show. We've already received a number of WhatsApp messages. The WhatsApp line is 072-238-0712. If you want to give us a call, the number is 021-442-3530. That is 021-442-3530. Our guests in the studio this evening are here to answer your questions. If you were meant to go on Hajj, of course, we are not, since South Africa is not sending pilgrims on Hajj this year. And of course, this is because of the coronavirus. Our government has actually said no international flights can be booked at the moment. So here goes the first question. Okay, so my dad paid 100% for his Hajj. 50% is being given back, so it's a refund. And he's told that the other 50% will be paid when the Saudis refund the agent's money. Is that the case with all the agents? That is a question from one of the listeners.
Yazid, first of all, let me say to you that every operator is probably in a different position in terms of the amount of money is paid over. So perhaps, you know, the question is coming from a person who's perhaps, you know, booked at one of our operators who's paid, call it 50% of the funds over already, and he's sitting with the 50% of the other funds. So he's in a position to do that refund. But every operator would be at a different stage of his negotiation with his various suppliers. Fact of the matter is that the refund process, we can only start now that an official announcement is made to cancel or not, or to withdraw from the Hajj. So the first thing to do then is to say, hold on, we need to relook the contract, we need to release the person from the contract, we need to cancel the contract, and from there, the whole process can start.
Okay, but so I'm looking at this as a consumer as well, right? So if I were to go on Hajj, and I paid a travel operator my money, and the travel operator comes back to me and says, well, the government in this case, well, the government says I can't travel, so by default, Saudi says no Hajj, right? My deal is with the Hajj operator.
Yes.
Not with the Saudi government. Do I not have a contract with that person? What does it have to do with him or that operator getting money back from Saudi? And why are they paying 50% of the money already to the Saudi government? Because I thought there were only taxes and those kind of things. Or, I mean, obviously it's also hotels and those kind of things that are being paid. Help us understand, because that's the logical thinking, you know, like my deal is with the Hajj operator, not with the Saudis.
No, what happened was, you asked a few questions in that
sorry.
Let me first come back to the first part where you said that the contract is between the consumer and the Hajj operator. Correctly said there. Alhamdulillah. So the Hajj operator in his contract and in his agreement was to supply the ticket, the accommodation, and all the logistical planning regarding that travel. But the consumer not being able to travel due to COVID or restrictions, it's not a direct default from the operator or the contract itself. We're sitting with the physical bookings and confirmations. We're sitting with the ticketing. We're sitting with the balance of the funds that needed to be paid at a later stage for all the transfers, the camp fees, the food fees, and so forth.
The tax.
The tax. So the COVID-19 has now prevented the consumer of traveling. And therefore, the contract needs to then be cancelled, and we need to apply for that refunds and that processes. In terms of monies that has been paid over, we look at the time frame that this transpired. Since the Hujaj was accredited in late January, and they started contracting with the operators, we in Intel had to have packages and contracts ready as prior to December when we applied. Right, and as soon as monies came in, because we had terms and conditions on our accommodation contracts. Now, as per norm, Yazid, by prior to Ramadan, we should be fully paid to all suppliers already. And yeah. With the lockdown restrictions, and because our accreditation never happened that early as well, we paid over the monies as soon as it was paid to us and contracted to us.
So you mean you have a deadline,
lockdown,
no?
Before yeah. even COVID really showed its teeth.
Yeah.
You know, this first started in Umrah for March, where the first Mutamirin was restricted of traveling end of Feb, early March. And by that time, many Hujaj has already contracted with us. We paid over monies because we got a payment planned with the hotels, maybe over 4 or 5 different dates. And we need to be fully paid in order to start the visa process. There's a lot of back office technical, logistical planning and work that is done that the Hujaj is not and or the public don't understand. However, when we were stopped to continue with all administrative payments, contracts and transfers, by then we already paid 50% of our monies over. You know, if that restriction hadn't to be made, maybe even later on it would have been more monies has been paid over. The first things we normally do is we try and secure our flights at the better prices, so that you, in order to book a flight and to issue a flight, to secure the price, you need to pay it in full. You know, so there wasn't part payments on the ticketing and the limited seats. And there's a lot of challenges that we as travel operators face to make this reality a possible.
So you're speaking now as a travel operator, not as a tower.
We are Satoa. We're speaking as Satoa travel operators.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I mean, there are two hats. For me, there's a regulation hat, and the other hat is a Hajj operator hat.
Yeah.
And I want to make clear distinctions about that, because the one is saying, I am watching the Hajj operators, and the other one is saying, I am a Hajj operator. You know, so we must be really clear how we, because I feel like the oversight role is so important when we have consumer conversations.
Correct.
Yeah.
With regards to the governance, to the oversight, remember, when we talk Hajj, SAHOG is the regulator. They take ultimate responsibility for oversight. Oversight over the regulators. Oversight over the Hajj operator that they've accredited. So we have got a code of conduct with SAHOG that we need to live up to. When you talk about Satoa, when we talk about the members of the South African Travel Hajj and Umrah operators that we serve, we have got our own internal code of conduct. We've got our own code of ethics that we enforce over our membership. So there's two levels of oversight that you are talking of at the moment, because it's the SAHOG side that looks at Hajj overall, and then you look at Satoa that look at our members and our operations internally. So there are two sets of call it governance rules that oversee, and it's for that reason why I believe that the public can take a bit of confidence that there is an oversight role that looks after their interests. And the one thing that Sheikh Imran is talking of here, I mean, the reason why we had to make sure that we keep our contracts intact with our suppliers in Makkah and the airlines is in the interest of the Hujaj. Mm. So Hujaj booked with us, we have got to ensure that the package that we sold to them is there, and for that package to be legit, yeah, you're going to have to make payments.
Yeah, look, we probably have only 20 minutes left, eh? So I think the crux of the question was about the money coming back from Saudi.
Yes.
So you have outlined the legitimacy of that claim, monies have been paid over to Saudi. You've said flights had to be paid beforehand, etc. So is that operator correct? Is that what you're saying?
I would say that he was quite fair. However, the Hujaj need to be patient with the due process. It was it's an unprecedented experience for everyone at this stage. Never before, I think, in the last 15 years for South African travel operators or Hujaj was Hajj even cancelled to this extent. So the process itself is unfolding. We are waiting also for the hoteliers to respond to our request as we have put in that request. They also got a process in place with the management and Hajj authorities and these hotels. And so it's not going to be a very quick process.
But we're very
optimistic that it's going to be a favorable process and we're going to get some favorable responses in terms of the monies being paid back to us. And the, we can't say, but with Umrah, alhamdulillah, has been very good. You know, it's the same experience in terms of COVID and in with regards to the Umrah, the suppliers gave us the commitments. The monies took quite a while. There is still outstanding refunds that is due to Umrah, even with the visa companies, although they've given us the commitments and so forth. So we expect something very similar as they understand if it's going to be called off even from the ministry side. They won't penalize us. But in terms of refund times, we can't really clarify that yet, because we are still in negotiation with the necessary authorities.
I mean, Shahid may remember we sat in the studio on this program that first week of COVID, when people were sent back from Dubai, and then we had the travel operator online as well explaining about the refund. Because the big question now is going to be about money. Everyone on this WhatsApp line is asking about money. But now, just to say that, because that travel agent said that, is that the case for all the travel agents, that 50%? No, not
at all. I think the 50% is actually a very fair, you know, amount that the agent has already given back. But understand that, as I said, every operator is in a different position. I might have paid 50%, somebody might have paid 75%, others might have paid nothing. Allahu alam, we don't know all the little details. But the fact of the matter is that what we can say to Hujjaj out there, that the refunds will come through. We just ask for a little bit of sabr while we are dealing with it. In fact, just this afternoon, one of the suppliers wrote to us to say that they are not fully on board, all at work yet, and inshallah they should all be back next month, and then these things will be dealt with. So it just gives you an indication of where we're going in terms of time.
Yeah. Now look, before we go for our next ad break, we have a few minutes actually. So will or can Hajis, can they expect a full refund though? Let's say I've paid 60,000 rand. My agent has gone off and made certain payments to an airline, to, you know, accommodation, etc. I mean, I understand from traveling that airlines do charge you a penalty, but we'd like to, of course, hear from you guys. Will the pilgrims get the full amount back in rands?
Let me put it to you this way. There's three parts of that answer. Number one, it is the package which we've paid over to the hoteliers, and there we expect, you know, the money is to come back.
The full amount?
Inshallah, we expect the full amount to come back. Whether they give it back to us or keep it in credit, we are expecting that, and that's what we are going to. That's what we're already requesting from our hoteliers. From an airline point of view, the policies of every airline is different. Certain guys will give you cash, others will give you a voucher. Allahu alam, we are still sorting out that process with the airlines because it's not all clear as it is at the moment. But yes, if a ticket had been issued by a travel agent, you can expect some sort of an admin fee for doing that, for the cancellation, etc. So that is the airline side. The next one is a general administration fee. Now, the tour companies have agreed that we are not going to charge any administration fee to our Hujjaj. I mean, that's our investment in our Hujjaj, inshallah ta'ala.
That's a very important point you just made there. Can I just reiterate that? You are saying you are not going to charge
an administration fee to our Hujjaj. We've been doing a lot of work since last year on the Hajj, and I mean, there's a lot of costs and expenses
Just before that you had mentioned an admin fee of an airline ticket.
Yes. Now, certain Hajj operators might have booked an airline ticket by a travel agent, and the ticket had been issued. Now, where the ticket had been issued, and you have to cancel the ticket, you know, the travel agent, whichever travel agent, might charge you an admin fee for the issuing of the airline ticket. But we, as an operator, we are not going to charge anybody an admin fee for the cancellation of the package and all the work that went into that. So that's an important thing to note. And the only cancellation fee that will be charged is whatever the airline is going to impose upon us. But inshallah ta'ala, we are hoping that that is going to be an absolute minimum.
Yeah, I think in summarizing the answer, you are saying that in all likelihood, you will get a full refund for your ticket or a voucher, and there are certain fees, admin fees, that may be deducted. So people should be aware
from
of that.
From an issued ticketing point of view.
Yeah.
But not in the case where we haven't issued you a ticket.
And what about hotels and so on? Are there going to be losses for the pilgrim there, for the Hajjis there as well?
Inshallah, we hope not.
Okay.
You know, but as I said, you know, once everybody is back on board, back in work, that's when we will talk to the hoteliers.
Okay. Yeah. The next question from listener 1374 says, so why can't the Hajjaj just be carried over to next year? Why do SAWAK want to give so much administrative work and a refund? So the assumption here is that people have been accredited to go for Hajj. I mean, I don't even understand fully how that will work. Like, will people just be said, okay, you can't go this year, go next year, you still have your Hajj accreditation?
Okay, well, that's the question for SAWAK.
Mm-hmm.
So SAWAK owns the accreditation process, all right? And the reasons that SAWAK has advanced for not keeping people accredited, I mean, SAWAK has got their policies with regards to accreditation, and that policies must be applied consistently. There is a precedent in the past where people had been cancelled when the construction of the Haram went on, and 500 people had to be cancelled after accreditation, and those people went back into the queue, into the original date and time when they applied. In this case, the reasons that SAWAK are advancing is that we don't know what the state of the COVID pandemic is going to be next year. We do not know whether we're going to get the current quota of 3.5 that we've received. We do not know whether the kingdom might put any restrictions on entering the kingdom on any other country's citizens. So for them, the option is, you know, put you back in the original date and time of queue and then start the process all over again.
So you are going to have to reapply, or you are just going to be selected?
Now, what's going to happen is that, and this is per the SAWAK press release, is that everybody, once deaccredited, is being put back into the queue in terms of the date and the time that you applied for. So when the accreditation process works next year, it will work on a normal basis. Wherever you are in the queue,
there are other factors as well. I mean, somebody might decide not to go. There might be a situation of a death. There's many other things, financial situations.
And that's exactly why they're doing all of this from all over again. Okay. So that to keep it plain and simple, back into the queue. There are people that have been accredited who opted and deferred for next year, in your first list. So everybody is being put back in the queue.
Sure.
And these are the reasons that SAWAK advanced to us. Mm-hmm. They are the owners of the accreditation process, and alhamdulillah, we have to abide by that.
Look, I think because there are so many questions, let's try and keep the answers brief. We're going to go for an ad break actually soon, and then we are going to have like 20 minutes left. So Yasin Abid from Rustenburg sent a question. He says, if my operator keeps my funds to next year, what is the likelihood that I will be accredited for next year?
If the operator keeps the funds for next year, it's like our president explained earlier, there is no guarantees of you being accredited. You'll go back in the queue for date and time, and the accreditation process will then follow. So the possibility that of you being accredited, you have to wait and see if you are.
That sounds kind of unfair, you know. Like, if I was accredited this year, I'd be worried if I don't get accredited next year. You know, it doesn't seem
if you were on the,
as a consumer, I'm just thinking as a consumer.
Look, if the process is applied, it's actually a fair process. It sounds unfair, but it's actually a very fair process. So if you do go back in the date and queue, and you were accredited this year in the date and queue, and your chances, Allah knows best. But there's no guarantees. These was cancellations. It was later list. It was almost 4 or 5 accreditation lists. So therefore, but to answer the question, to clarify the Haji's question, is that there is no guarantee. There is no likelihood to put it here like that way.
Because the follow-up question from listener 6618 says, why are we not given first preference for Hajj 2021 if we were accredited this year? This is clearly someone who prepared themselves to go this year.
Well, it's exactly that I said. You know, the system, the ownership of the accreditation belongs to SAUK, and they've advanced those reasons from a transparent point of view that you go back into the dating queue. There might be other people who's deferred for next year that might be in front of you in the queue, and that's why the process will start from all over again.
Mm-hmm. Shukran, I'm receiving quite a few questions around that. It seems there are people who were intending to go this year, but obviously they now want to know if they will.
There are divergent views on the matter, but as long as the policy is applied fairly, I don't think we can complain.
Okay, let's go for a quick ad break, then we'll come back to questions. Back to the issue with myself, Yazid Kamaldin.
The Burning Issue.
Welcome back to the Burning Issue with myself, Yazid Kamaldin. Of course, we are taking questions this evening. If you are a Haji who was intending to go on Hajj this year, of course, we know that that's not, unfortunately, going to be happening this year. If you have questions around travel operators, no more SAUK questions. We can always get SAUK on the show another time, but tonight we're focusing on questions for Hajj operators. And you're welcome to send us a message. There are quite a few messages already that I'm going to work through. But unfortunately, I'm going to avoid SAUK questions because the show is not with SAUK. You can send a WhatsApp to 072-238-0712, 072-238-0712. You can also give us a call in the studio. The number is 021-442-3530. Our guests in the studio are from the South African Hajj Travel Operators Association. They are an oversight body. They look at travel Hajj operators to make sure that the consumer is given a fair deal. So our question from listener 6227 asks, what happens to the Hujjaj who did not put down a deposit? Are we released from the contract with the travel agent?
All Hujjaj will be released from the contracts.
Shukran. Short and sweet, that's how we like the answers. I know always it's not always easy. Listener 2608 wants to know, what will the estimated increase be for Hajj next year?
The increases for next year, there's no confirmations around that yet. There might be new regulations, new restrictions, new rules. That will have to wait till next year itself. When you are accredited, by then packages would be available, and at that given time, it will be part of the new Hajj season, and contracts will all be in place, and prices for airline tickets will only be then released as well. So for now, suffice to say that we won't be able to give you any indication at all as to what that pricing might be next year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole economy is you know, it depends on the whole economy. It's not just on what, you know, happens in Cape Town. Then also, here's a listener who is kind of skeptical about whether the travel operators paid airlines, but I'm going to ask the question. So listener 7601 says, I refuse to believe that any money has been paid to an airline because of this pandemic, which is now, of course, COVID-19. I would want proof of payment of that purchase from the agent. Are we within our rights to see this proof of payment for tickets?
It's not necessary, actually, for you to see the proof of payment. You'll get your actual ticket if it has been issued. The physical ticket, which you can then check with the airline, it should be valid, although we will be in the process of cancelling that ticket now, but it can be proven that it was purchased, yes.
Let's see. So, question one from 8465. How long will it take from the time Hujjaj requests a release of the contract for the Hujjaj to receive that, to get that confirmation of, because apparently they need to submit something to SAUK. But I mean, they need to be released from a contract. That's the first question. And then, sorry, question two talks about, some of us were informed, this is obviously someone who was likely going to travel. Some of us were informed that flights would have only been confirmed by March or April. I'm trying to make sense as to whether the operator and SAUK are covered by the same principles.
All right. There's a few questions there.
You don't have to answer any style questions, by the way.
No, right. I got it. First of all, what Hujjat need to go back to Saokan is the bank account details so that Sao can refund the 1,500 Nen, which was the accreditation fee that was paid. So that must be sent to Sao. Secondly, in terms of the cancellation of the contract, operators are busy with the Hujjat at the moment. And they're working through that process, so it's just a matter of getting to each and every Hujjaj to discuss and to release them from that contract. And once that's done, the whole process of refund can then start.
Look, I think we must just reiterate, there may be people who have only tuned in now. Can we just confirm something around not staying on the list? There is a whole de-accreditation process, and then the people will have to apply again, right?
No. Nobody has to reapply. So what SAOK is going to do now, SAOK will now de-accredit you and put you back in your original time and date when you applied. Right? So that list will be, we'll call it be reinstated as to when the accreditation process started at the beginning
of this year.
Of this season. So next year, when they start accrediting, they will then start again from all over again and accredit as per usual.
Great. So you're not going to pay anything.
You don't have to do anything.
Okay.
In fact, you're going to get money back if you give your bank account. So when you get accredited next year, inshallah ta'ala, all you then do is to pay your accreditation fee again.
Okay. Listener 703 wants to know, so if there is no guarantee that the Hujjaj will be accredited next year, why does my operator give me the option of them keeping my funds to next year?
If your operator do give you the option of keeping the funds, the choice you have to personally make with your operator. You are entitled to take your funds back. And if you do leave your funds with that operator, it suffices for me to say that there is no guarantee of prices for next year. The new pricing will still apply. Your new ticket will then only also be obtained that time. So it's merely a choice from the consumer. It's not a rule that you should feel obligated to leave your funds with anybody.
Okay.
If you do choose as to save your money there, if you feel that if you do take it back, you might use the monies, or you don't, you're not going to reinvest it, or it's not safe to keep it yourself, it's your choice. But any Haji should know this, that if you do make the choice to have your refunds given to you, you can get that. If you do have any issues around that, you can contact Zatoa and we can surely look into that matter as well.
I mean, would you advise someone to rather get a refund in case?
I think that it's a personal choice. It's between you and your contractor. I don't know what the Haji situation is. But today they say it's best you get your monies back. It's entirely up to the Haji.
Listener 7098 is another Haji who was planning to go on Hajj this year. The listener says, I am an accredited Hujjaj who paid my and my husband's full Hajj package, excluding flights monies, to the Hajj operator. What is the next step, since the Hajj contract stated that only a 30% of the full package was needed to conclude the contract? So they only had to pay 30% deposit to conclude the contract. We paid the difference in good faith, which the Hajj operator should refund immediately. And then it says, Satoa is clearly defending the Hajj operator. Speaking, well, we've clarified that.
We are explaining a process here.
Yeah.
And it's in the interest of the Haji. In the interest of the Hujjaj, that we want to make sure that the Hujjaj knows the procedure involved. So, if any of the refunds that's going to come through, inshallah ta'ala, we are quite confident that the Haji is going to get the refund. We are just not able to put you a timeline on the table as is at the moment. That is something that we are working on right now. But even so, whilst we're working on it, if all the hoteliers are not back at work, I mean, what do you do? So what we are saying to the Haji, inshallah ta'ala, this is the process that we're going to do. We are giving you the procedures. We want to give you the confidence that this process is unfolding at the moment. And that, inshallah, is what we are going to do.
Okay. So, I mean, look, I just want to come back. I want to really answer this person's question, though. I know it's a bit of a sour question, but travel operators can also answer this. Listener 3898 says, will I be on the accreditation list again next year, as this is now my second postponement?
Again, we cannot give you that answer. I don't know when you apply date and time. We do not know what the quota is going to be next year. There's too many variables. And even Sauk is not able to answer you that question. And that is exactly why you're going back into time and date in terms of your applications.
So I just want to add to it. If you were accredited this year, right, and you are put back now, and it's going to be, and prior to accepting this accreditation, you probably, like the listener said, deferred before.
Yeah.
If you were accredited this year, it suffices to understand that you will be on the list next year. You are not penalized for not being able to go. You merely are going to be placed back into the queue as per date and time
on a
fair process basis. And if you stood a chance this year to be accredited, definitely you will then be eligible to be accredited next year as per the list on date and time.
Correct. Now, here's an interesting question. Listener 8318 says, my parents were on the group that was stopped at Dubai as Saudi closed borders. Now, of course, this is at the start of COVID. My parents have received no refund from the operator. The crazy thing is that we actually had that operator on the phone saying that they will work on that refund. Mr. Sienkamp mentioned this was sorted. I'm very concerned that operator did not fund any monies. I mean, so then isn't Satoa's role here to check that operators refund where they need to refund?
Yes, it is, but then it has to be brought to our attention so we can have a look into the matter and investigate.
But this was brought to Satoa's attention.
Let me clarify that operator is not a member of Satoa, so we've got no jurisdiction over that operator, per se.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we accepted on the program the word of the operator.
Yeah.
In that case, you know, the assurances that he gave, we said, well, in that case, if that happens, then it's sorted. Whether it actually happened, you know, that we can't vouch for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, the listener who asked about the tickets, you've mentioned that we're not answering the questions. We have answered the questions. The answer was, you will have a ticket. If you think it's hard to believe, anyway, the listener said, it's hard to believe that people could have bought tickets, but you said a ticket would have been issued.
Definitely.
So that would have been
if there is no ticket to be presented to you or shown to you, then there was no ticket issued then. And then therefore you should get your ticket refund in full.
Perhaps if I can just clarify the ticket issue. There's three issues with regards to tickets. Very few hujjaj, they bought their own ticket, so they're going to have to deal with the airline themselves in terms of their ticket. B, the operator actually issued your ticket, all right? In that case, you will have a physical ticket to show. And then C, you were part of a group booking. We paid a deposit to the airline, but the tickets weren't issued yet, but the airline is sitting with our deposit. And those are the three sort of categories of tickets that we're talking of now. In terms of the question here, it's whether, I don't know if she's talking about whether we issued the ticket or, you know, she's part of a group booking where the ticket hadn't been issued yet, but the money or the deposits are sitting with the actual airline and those monies have not been refunded as yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you have, listener 115-1 wants to know, can you advise which operators are accredited? I mean, you don't have to do it now. Is there a website? Is there a Facebook page?
When you talk about Hajj operators, yes, of course.
Yeah.
They can look on the SAUK website. Everything is there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Listeners, do let us know if you would like a follow-up to this show with Satoa. Please, you can send us a message. We're keeping a track of all your questions, but I just got a message from the show's producer, Tasneem Adam, saying that let us know if you want a follow-up because obviously there's so many questions. Now, this is the last two questions that I have time for. Listener 4135 says, if we were released from contracts, are we released from the hotel cancellation fees? That's the first one, right? Because they paid in full, so they want to know. Okay, wow, there's already four messages saying they want to follow up. Okay, that's the first question. And then the second question would be, also if we signed a contract but only paid for the airfare, can the operator hold back some money for cancellation fees? I think we covered some of this, right?
I think that we've made it clear that the cancellation fees that we will charge are the cancellation fees that's levied upon us. For example, if the airline charges the cancellation fee, mm-hmm. that will be levied. If the hotelier charges a cancellation fee, that will be levied. But inshallah, we don't expect that to happen. So we will deal with that matter. From an administration point of view, we are not going to charge the Hujjaj any admin fee. Yeah. So in terms of fees that we are going to charge, I think it's very clear what we've said, what we'll charge. I mean, SAUK has made it also clear in their press release that we discussed with them.
Great, shukran. Guys, that's all we have time for. There's like about 20 messages that want to follow up. You're going to be back here, inshallah. There's just too many questions. Listeners, I do want to apologize that we did not have time to get to all the questions, but wallahi, there are so many questions, right? And it's obvious that people want to understand. Please make your final point. Yes.
My final question, I was, again, you know, I just want to ask our Hujjaj just to make a little bit of sabr, inshallah ta'ala, and to have confidence and to trust your operator that we're going to do the right thing for you, inshallah ta'ala.
Yeah. I have actually time for one last question here, okay? And this is quite important because we were talking about refunds this evening. Listener 8434, I'm quickly going to put in your question. The listener wants to know, who do we contact should we have no refund, Joy? Who can help somebody if they need to get money back from a Hajj or travel operator?
You can contact Satawa if we will then look into it. And we can either, if it's one of our members, we can intervene and sit down and have a meeting. If not, we will then point you out to the necessary people to contact as well. However, all the accredited Hajj operators is working in with SAUK as well, and then we can assist you with that kindly.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think actually for the next show we might have to get SAUK in as well. Hopefully, inshallah, it will be at the normal 2-hour slot, simply because these questions are kind of related. When people are saying,
yes, correct,
I'm cancelling, you know, I want to go next year. There's some questions around, sort of like, there are some links, you know. I think...
No, I suppose best year to get SAUK in to answer those questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think the main takeout... Oh, we're actually getting more time. Wow, that is nice. Okay. So the main takeout here is that there are procedures that you can follow to get a refund.
Correct.
Yes. Right? There is Satawa that you can also get to for help if your Hajj operator is with Satawa, obviously. If they're not, it's a different story. We also, I guess what I take out, the main takeout for me as well from talking with you guys is that be prepared for some deductions, possibly even a voucher.
Yes, in the airline point of view, yeah. From an airline point of view.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But so.
But the main thing is that what we are asking of our Hujjaj is for a bit of sabr while we deal with the situation. I think that is the important issue as it is. Let me say to you, all these Satawa members, out of the 18 operating Hajj companies this year, 13 belongs to Satawa. And from a Satawa point of view, we are having regular discussions to ensure that there is minimum inconvenience to the Hajji. And that is our commitment to ensure, inshallah ta'ala, that the Hujjaj gets back most, if not all, of his or her money, inshallah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing with Hajj is that it's, for a lot of people, this is like one of the most expensive, one of the biggest expenses they're going to have. For quite a lot of people, you know, like spending sometimes up to like 120,000 rand for a couple to go on Hajj, right? So obviously to get some of that money back would be super important for people.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we would like to see that happening.
Mm-hmm. No, alhamdulillah, I think we must all remain positive. Don't let us not lose hope. Let's give the necessary Hajj operators who we have entrusted already the time to do this on our behalf. And alhamdulillah, we have an undertaking of our members that they will ensure that the best results takes place to a certain extent what is within their control. Inshallah, we will definitely keep the public and the Hujjaj informed as to how this process unfolds and with its time that it will be, that we will be able to refund the people, inshallah.
Yeah. Well, shukran so much for joining me this evening. I really think that we do need more time, inshallah, and you will come back. Of course, there are many questions. From myself, Yazid Kamaldin, shukran for listening and tuning into Burning Issue. I'll be back next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.